Dunavant is a family-owned business that has the knowledge to ensure global and domestic shipping practices are efficient and effective. Dunavant generates supply chain proficiency with outstanding, attentive, and expedient customer service. For more information, visit dunavant.com.
Zach, this is Freedonomics, but we're not in Chattanooga.
No, this didn't. I thought it didn't. I thought it looked unfamiliar.
It's a little bit unfamiliar. This is Freightonomics. We're in Northwest Arkansas. This is the future of supply chain. I'm Anthony Smith, chief economist here at FreightWaves, joined by Zach Strickland, the Sultan, the director of freight market intelligence, the man with many talents, the man that can just do it all here in Northwest Arkansas with tons of energy going into day two after getting here on Saturday and just running around.
Dude, you're my hype guy. Like, I was really dragging, and then all of a sudden, you just gave me all that energy. So, Anthony, like, so we've had a lot going on. Now, we're following Craig Fuller.
It's messed up. Following Craig Fuller.
And Craig Fuller's rant on LinkedIn and just pumping me up about America and the American, and really the American economy. And yeah. I want to touch on that a little bit later. But first up, we definitely have to cover some of the things that we've seen here at the convention. We did have a guest, but people trying to leave.
Yeah, I mean, I bet they would have showed up for Blythe or Dooner, but it's fine. It's okay.
Fine.
We're not taking it personal.
We're okay. We're big. But yeah. So some of the things that we've seen, especially here, I mean, the last one that I just saw was incredible, and I want to cover that with Craig. But the NTI,
yeah,
the National Trucking Index, something that we just released, and it's our own little personal index, Anthony. It's our own personal index, and so you know how these indexes work. These are these high level aggregated indexes, and this index specifically covers the trucking spot market. That's why we're calling it the National Trucking Index. And it's going to be representative of trucking movements. I mean, any financial analyst, investor knows this is what stocks trade on.
Yeah.
Is that spot market activity. And the NTI is derived from our TRAC, Trusted Rate Assessment Consortium. So our spot rate measurement tool that we have. And we built it out of that. And it's based on bookings. So this is we're really turning this into the stock market for freight. And I think that for me as a finance major is one of the most exciting things about it is because now you have a way to kind of game the market.
Yeah.
You can see you have a benchmark, a baseline to see compare your lane to. You've got some lanes that are going to move contrary to the market, some lanes that are going to move with it. And you got all your betas and, I'm geeking out already.
Yeah. And Zach, the thing I love about it is that instant data or near real-time data. So like, of course, with the OTRI, VOTVI, things like that, near real-time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm an economist. I look at economic data sets. I love them. Things like the Federal Reserve, industrial production, housing starts from the U.S. Census Bureau, all that great stuff. It's awesome. But it's monthly and it's delayed. If I want to know what's happening, I need to know now. And so being able to look at those trends near real time, it's a game changer for me.
Yeah. And the fact that it is so, it's every day.
Yeah.
So we also released two other indexes with it. So, we have the 7-day moving average, which is the easiest to look at. But we also did a little math and were able to come up with a way to kind of derive the impact of fuel. Because most spot market rates, to be honest, they're all in.
Like,
brokers don't care. they don't care if it's fuel or not fuel or whatever. They just want the rate to the truck.
Yeah.
And they want to know what they're going to have to mark it up. That's their cost. Fuel, accessorials, whatever, just give me the all-in rate. And that's the way that a lot of the contributions are made. So we've come up with a way to kind of pull that fuel out, based on a little bit of estimation and guesstimation, but it's based on utilization as the crowd goes wild.
It's getting active out there.
I mean, there's still energy here. There's still a lot of energy.
I think someone just jumped off the top of a booth. They just did a suplex. I don't know. It's like WrestleMania back there, but I love it. But NTI.
So the fuel, we've come up with a way to pull the fuel out of there. And it shows, what's interesting is that it's showing the impact of spot rates, less fuel.
Yeah.
Now, it may not be, totally the case in terms of the fuel being super precise, but spot rates are actually falling much more dramatically if you take out that fuel, which I think a lot of people would be like, oh, yeah, duh.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It, to see it and you know, in its form on the chart and see kind of like, we thought it was bad with fuel in it.
Yeah.
You take out the fuel and we call it the line haul, NTIL or NTILD for daily too, just drop like a rock. What does that tell you? What does that tell you as an economist? Because I know we always talk about fuel being a part of inflation.
Yeah.
And obviously everybody here spends money on gas and then indirectly there's fuel costs and food and just about everything. I mean, freight in general, lots of fuel in it. So that has a compounding impact to the consumer's ability to spend money. So what are your thoughts here? When you look at this without fuel, does that change the way that you kind of view freight and what's happening in the freight market right now?
Well, it kind of tells the story of even more easing or even more weakness than what was kind of initially expected. It was almost more impressive for me when I saw that it was moving downwards with the fuel, because right. We know that there was that inflation there. So right. I think you said, yeah, it's expected, but it just drives it home that much more.
Yeah, I think it's a little eye-opening. So we'll obviously be back in the studio at some point. So we'll throw that bad boy up and break him down a little bit more detail. But we do have all these other variations of it. So you can get lots of wide looks into what's going on. The daily,
yeah.
The NTI daily. Now that takes out that's not the 7-day moving average, but it tells you literally. So anybody that's quoted freight knows. Your rates change every day.
Yeah.
They change and there's more volatility on Fridays, especially after 3 p.m. We haven't got that far, but you can see the impact of weekends, getting later in the week, that bouncing impact. And of course, some weeks mean more than others. We got Memorial Day coming up.
Right.
The market's in a decline, but it's kind of a questionality. Now, what are we going to see seasonally speaking?
That's
and
right.
I think this is going to be a fascinating index to have available.
I think and the thing is, I'm excited about, because it is still new. I'm excited about jumping into it and running all the comps and seeing, okay, where can I apply this to? Where can I get those really kind of those lead times? Because I said earlier, I love these economic data sets. Some are the most watched economic set, GDP, is released quarterly. So if I can have something that's daily that I can really kind of get into and really start to look for trends, it's like a dream come true.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. So NTI, of course, National Trucking Index, you know, designed for the people that may not be familiar with freight either.
Yeah.
They're outside the space. That's why we called it NTI. It's kind of like, think of it like the WTI, Dow Jones Industrial right. Index for the trucking market. Super excited about that. Now, we had another one.
We did. And before we get into it, I got to thank some people, Zach.
Thank them. Thank you, people.
So our FreightWaves TV stage is brought to you by Transcard and MasterCard, bringing together Freight X. We appreciate y'all.
Yes. So we have a second release here.
Yeah.
The SCA, Sonar Container Atlas. Now, this guy's in beta, which means it's going to just be continuously improved and we don't have to necessarily go through the standardized process. Mm-hmm. It's just going to make it faster for us to make this thing bigger and better faster.
Right.
That's all beta really means. So we don't have to be held accountable to being like, you changed something. It's like, yeah, we changed it because we wanted it to grow and get better. And it's because it's so new. There's literally nothing like it that I've seen for sure. And Henry Byers, of course, assures me that that's accurate.
Yeah.
Henry Byers, of course, our market expert, maritime market expert, largely responsible for building this thing,
yeah.
Like almost entirely. I mean, the data science team, obviously, and engineering definitely helped. And then John Paul Hampstead, of course, also assisted with this. But it's a tool embedded in Sonar.
Yeah.
And it's specifically there to measure the underlying trends, demand side and supply side, for ships, container ships, moving to and from the United States.
Yeah. So, Zach, when I look at this, mm-hmm. this is going to be one of those things that when I want to look further and further and further upstream, this is going to be one of those areas that I need to look at first. Mm-hmm. Because maritime, I sometimes think it gets ignored or kind of put on the back burner. But really, if you want to see what's about to hit into the U.S., what's about to hit the roads, has to come into the country first.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think for me personally, like, I didn't know anything about maritime before I came to FreightWaves. I mean, I literally knew nothing. I was like, I know there's boats.
Yeah.
I've seen the gantry cranes and all that kind of stuff. It's really cool, super big. You know, I go to the beach and you see the container ships.
Yeah.
That's where it ended.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw Maersk and all the container names, and I didn't really recognize what that meant for my job. And I didn't know that I needed to care, to be honest. Like, and honestly, like, and a lot of the people that I talk to within my company and other companies, they don't care because they don't know.
Yeah.
They don't know what they don't know.
Right.
And this tool kind of brings it forward. So like you said, all the stuff we buy, everything we ran out to go get during the pandemic was mostly shipped from China. Let's just call it what it is. And and Craig's China rant just a minute ago, very, very, very true situation over there. So the geopolitical stuff aside, that is where a lot of the stuff we order come from. And it's kind of like, duh, it comes, that's how we get a lot of our truckload freight.
Right.
That's how we, that's what we ship, is the stuff that we ship comes on a ship. I just came up with that. I feel really clever.
I need that. I need a t-shirt on that.
Yeah.
Like it's just a t-shirt that says the stuff we ship comes on a ship.
Yeah. The stuff we ship comes on a ship. We could totally put that in a banner somewhere.
Branded.
But the idea that the volumes that, and there's also another little impact here that, or something that you can take away from this data that's outside of that direct impact. Of course, they're going to order freight and it's eventually going to transload into truckload, rail, warehouses and things like that in the United States. But shippers tend to act like the purchasing managers and transportation supply chain managers tend to act in almost a synchronous chorus down the supply chain. So they order the freight over the ocean in China. That's 14-day lead time before it gets on the boat, minimum, just about minimum. So the order cycle, very long. Well, while they're doing that, they're also moving inventory domestically.
Yeah.
And so we found a connection between when they're ordering trucks and when they're ordering upstream. But just recently, just in the last month, few months, Zach Rogers and you and I talked about this.
Yeah.
All these boats and the containers showed up almost overnight.
Right.
And they were like, wait a minute, we got too much stuff.
Yeah. The wrong stuff.
Yeah.
Because that was one of the things we were talking about with Zach Rogers, was that, yeah, inventories are building up, but it's the wrong inventory. It's late. Should have been here. Great, it's here. It should have been here 3 months ago, you know? And so that's going to be an issue, especially upstream.
Yeah, the upstream. And that's where everything's kind of bottlenecking right now, is upstream in the supply chains. And so this tool gives you almost like it's almost like the earliest view of freight. Like it's like if you were to watch a seed grow from underneath the soil, this is exactly how you would be able to see it happen. Because a lot of people are just really comfortable. Like, I'm going to look at rates, man. That's what matters. And that's what I spend money on. Everybody understands money. I understand money because I love it and I want more of it. But the idea that, you know, that's the only way to measure something.
Yeah.
It's insufficient because money brings emotion.
Yeah.
I'm emotional about it. So, you know, if we were listening to Billy Bean earlier, he didn't watch the baseball games.
That was one of the impressive things that I heard.
I want to cover some Billy Bean here
in
a little bit. But I think that's kind of my takeaway from rates. Now, I know we just talked about our rate release, NTI, because there's money in it. But you want to measure the emotion too. But you want to start underneath the emotion. You want to see what's going to drive that emotion. And this data inside of SCA, as I'm going to call it, because Container Atlas makes me, my tongue starts going. But this is going to help you see when those shippers place those orders in China and other areas of the world. I think that's also something that we're going to watch with this product is where some of this origination starts to change because of all the geopolitical situation over there, especially in China. Now, I want to get your take on this one.
Yeah.
Personally, I don't think that we're going to be able to disconnect from China very quickly at all. Mm-hmm. Their scaling ability is just beyond almost our imagination. They have been building this situation up for decades.
Yeah.
They also have a population. They also have the resources to do these things. So when we talk about nearshoring, reshoring, moving these changes or moving these production areas, that's not going to be simple. What do you think?
Yeah, it's not going to be simple. It can't happen overnight, and it can't even happen over a course of a year.
Right.
I mean, when we're looking at this, yeah, as you said, they built out an entire infrastructure. They've built out cities really to kind of help with that manufacturing. They even have ghost cities. They have built out so much in China, so that's what they do. We look at Southeast Asia as an alternative, but it pales in comparison when you look at what they have there.
Yeah, so everybody's like, let's just shift everything to Vietnam.
Yeah.
I remember this last year. We were talking about it. It's like, let's just move everything to Vietnam. It'll be fine.
No, can't happen overnight.
Have you seen Vietnam on a map?
not as big. Not as big.
It's
Yeah. And so I think when we shift, the positive thing is when but the conversation of nearshoring and onshoring, things like that, there's going to be a technology aspect to it. So that's when I'm always talking about. I feel like that science meme that's like aliens, I'm like, technology. And so when we're aliens. Looking at it.
If I had the hair to do it, I'd do it.
Who are you telling, Zach? when we're talking about it, it's just like, that's going to be one of those areas that drives efficiency. So
yeah. We're
looking at it in a warehouse perspective. Mm-hmm. We're looking at it in a manufacturing perspective. The Internet of Things, machines talking to each other. So with that scale-up of technology, it's amazing, but it's going to take some time and it's going to take capital. It's going to take a lot of money. And so that's going to be one of those things that's going to slow it down because we're already in an inflated environment. So
that's
going to be one of those areas that's just going to slow it down that much more. You know, I look at our neighbors down south in Mexico and mm-hmm. Canada, both great partners. Mexico, I think, has always been one of those areas that's like kind of primed for growth. Like, yeah, that's going to be our, you know,
yeah. The
next, because we can cross border, just really help with manufacturing and facilitate that growth. But it's just going to take a lot of time and a lot of resources.
Yeah, and obviously they don't have the human capital that China has.
Yeah.
Although China's human capital may be a little bit more demoralized at this point. So that's not a long-term situation regardless of all that. But the point being, Sonar Container Atlas, definitely a product that I think most people involved in transportation are going to want to take a look at the very least, even if you don't have any kind of visibility or any knowledge of maritime or anything like that. It's definitely something you have to be aware of.
Right.
Warehousing, logistics, it doesn't matter. Even shippers obviously have a huge need for that. But transportation, domestic transportation providers, you have to be aware that a lot of what's happening upstream, it comes down the river.
Yeah.
And it hits you. So I mentioned Billy Bean. We've been at this conference, and we do a fantastic job of pulling, like, you know, industry leaders, but we also do a fantastic job of pulling people from outside the space.
Yeah.
You know, we've had, you know, who was it the last time? Craig interviewed. I'm going blank right on TV. But the Billy Bean was and Craig's and Anthony support. I'm getting canceled. There we go.
Cancel Zach.
Thanks, everybody.
Cancel Zach.
No, Billy Bean, huge fan of Moneyball. For those of you that aren't familiar,
I just wanted to see a little bit of a squirm. Are you talking about Jordan Belfort?
No, not. But yes, he was. Okay. He was great too. George Abernathy interviewing Jordan Belfort, the Wolf of Wall Street, was phenomenal. But I'm going to remember it here in just a second.
Okay.
And I'm going to scream it out in the middle of a sentence.
Please do.
But Billy Bean definitely got my attention because, again, this guy's data analytics. You know, I don't want to call him a nerd, but I'm doing it with a term of endearment because I relate to this guy so much. And he was talking about data's use and roles. And a lot of people's, you know, they approach data like it's going to provide them the answer.
Yeah.
It's like, here it is. You know, we're data peddlers ourselves, but you can't just look at a number and inherently understand its use like right away. And different people use data different ways.
Yeah.
As a shipper, you're going to use that container volume as kind of an indication of upward, you know, pressure on rates eventually if demand side spikes start to occur. Service going to get disrupted. As a carrier, I'm going to think about this huge pile of freight that's about to come knocking on my doorstep.
Right.
And I need to be ready for it. And I need to get around the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach or New York, New Jersey, because I can see where they're coming into.
Yeah.
So data itself is a tool. It's a tool to help you make the most relevant and gives you the highest chance for success. Relevant decisions, highest chances for success. And to do that, you need to approach it with a very objective, clear-headed thought space.
Right. And that's the thing that impressed me when you're talking about how he never even watched the game throughout the season.
Yeah.
Just make the decisions based off of the data. And I think that's going to be one of those things where you're like, all right, you're really practicing what you preach. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's a big thing. But the other part with data, because we all see everyone talking about like trends in the supply chain, freight tech's booming, it's big, it's amazing, I love it. But when we're talking about data, the thing that I started thinking about is all data useful data, because you just got into it. Yep. You're going to use data in different ways. Some data people are going to just be accumulating, they don't know how to use. Is it useful? What's it good for? We're talking about technology earlier on FreightWaves Now. I was like, hey, you know, I can have an alarm clock that can flip pancakes. It's cool, but I don't know if it's very useful where there's no utilization there. So is the data useful? What's it going towards?
Yeah, and identifying that use and making sure that you are using it the appropriate way, obviously a big step. But data, information is power.
Yeah.
And having more of it and having the option to look at it is always better than not.
Yeah.
But I love how Billy Beane kind of wove this into a story, and I didn't know that I knew this from the movie, but I'd forgotten that he doesn't watch the games, so he can't approach it from a very objective standpoint.
Yeah.
And then he starts watching the playoffs, and then he can get nervous, and he allows himself to kind of get involved. But he wants to. He knows that his analytics are very sound.
Right.
He knows he's measuring what he's measuring. And he knows what the outcome is if he follows a pretty prescriptive pattern of that, you know, looking at that data. And I think with supply chain, we're starting to see more people get involved. You know, Craig just talked about how supply chain and all the transportation industry wasn't, on everybody's forefront. They didn't care. And he's right. They didn't care because it just happened. It just worked.
Yeah.
Everything worked. And what it's led to is a lot of lazy infrastructure and a lot of like, We're very spoiled in the way that we kind of just expect stuff to show up. Amazon Prime has spoiled us.
Yeah.
We now think that we can get anything we want, whenever we want, within a day.
Yeah, and that's not going to change. And only it's going to get worse with that expectation of, hey, I'm going to need that level of service with everything, with everywhere I go. And it's only going to need to be improved. Like I'm going to want that white glove service option, at least, with almost anything and everything I order.
Yeah, and then look what happened. It turned off.
Yeah.
And everybody started freaking out. And that's why we see inflation right now. Because also they were given a big pile of cash.
There was that thing, that little money printing machine that was also in full effect as well. Appreciate you, Jerry.
Yeah, thanks.
Shout out to Jerry Powell. But when we're looking at that, the thing that I'm also interested in, because, of course, we had this freight boom. There's just so much activity. The thing that can really happen from, you know, going back in my days of being a consultant, there's a lot of mistakes that can get covered up in these booms. You can be like, oh, right, we're on cloud nine. We're doing amazing. She's like, nah, this is the market that's really doing amazing. You're just here. You're just a participant. And so when we're having these freight booms, when we're having these extreme growth cycles, seeing this expansion of freight tech, expansion of new innovations that might stick, might not stick. But at the same time, you can cover up a lot of mistakes. During these down sessions when, you know, we're scrambling here, that's really where a lot of what happened throughout that growth cycle really kind of makes its mark there. Is it truly innovative? Is it truly effective?
I got to ask you something, though, because we're talking about booms right now, and we've had a huge boom.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on bubbles? Because when does a boom become a bubble? And what are we seeing within individual sectors? Let me do this. I'm going to play a game with you.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a sector, and I'm going to ask you, did it boom or is it a bubble?
Okay.
All right. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. Chief Economist Anthony Smith on the spot here. All right. Industrial sector, boom or bubble?
Boom.
So that implies it's stable growth, relatively stable.
Yeah. So my thing is, it's like, it's a boom if there are enough demand at each level of declining growth. So when you look at those Econ 101 charts of like, this is supply, this is demand, I think it's a bubble when there's just so many buyers at this high level. And as soon as it drops a little bit, everyone just falls out and's like, nah, I'm good, I'm out. But when we're looking at housing, I think there's an argument for it to be a bubble for sure. Of course, I get it.
Housing.
I say it's a boom, but there is a chance that we are overbuilding. When we look at certain demographics, we're looking at how many homes are being purchased by investors.
Yeah.
There's an argument for a bubble. But when you look at how many buyers there are at each lower price point, there's going to be a lot more demand if a price goes down. But if there's just a diminishing market because, say, job openings completely collapse, the job market is just weak because that's really the last stronghold in the economy,
then that really becomes a bubble territory, because at that price point that there is no one else.
You hear what he's doing, guys. This is standard economist taking the middle road.
No. I classified it. It's a boom.
It's a boom. I wanted you to lean in.
It's a boom. I got it.
I was getting a little bit of wishy-washy.
No.
I needed you to commit. Retail.
Boom. Bubble. Bubble right now. Bubble.
I was going to say, bubble.
Bubble.
I was like, we're about to have a discussion.
Yeah. Bubble.
Yeah. I think we're already seeing the front edge of that bubble there pop. So specifically.
I'm glad you didn't ask me about NFTs.
NFTs.
I don't know.
Okay.
Are they still around? I'm just going to go with bubble, though.
They were here for like 5 seconds.
I'm just going with bubble, though, just because, yeah.
Food and beverages,
I think it's a constant. Is that booming?
We always need food and beverage.
Yeah,
I didn't think it was booming or bubbling.
Yeah, that's a constant right there. But Zach, this has been awesome. I know we're winding down here. This has been Freightonomics. We're in Arkansas. What's been one of the biggest trends that you've loved over the last couple of days here?
The biggest trend that I've seen, just everybody's excitement around supply chain.
Gotcha.
Like, even as the market looks like it's turning, it's still there. The energy's there.
Yeah.
Yourself?
Everyone's talking about transparency. I think that's kind of like yesterday's news. Yeah, transparency. I'm loving the conversation about collaboration. That's been really dope to hear that there's a lot more collaboration kind of coming into effect.
All right. Well, that'll do it for us. Thanks for watching, and see you from Northwest Arkansas.
See you from Northwest Arkansas. Shout out to everyone here. We appreciate y'all. Sorry we couldn't get Zach canceled, but, shout out to the FreightWiz fam. Reed Clements, Mary O'Connell over here. Leander, Harvey over there. Brittany, what's up? We appreciate you. They cut my mic?
Yo, bring it back.